Meaningful Medicine is a Novant Health podcast bringing you access to leading doctors who answer questions they wish you would ask. From routine care to rare conditions, our physicians offer tips to navigate medical decisions and build a healthier future. Today, I'm sitting down with Novant Health Dermatology Family Nurse Practitioner, Jennifer Lopez, and we're going to be discussing a condition that's characterized by painful, boil-like lumps that form under the skin. But before we get started there, Jennifer, I always like to ask my guest, you know, out of all the different places you could have gone in medicine, right? Why dermatology?
Hi, and thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I knew from a very young age that I was fascinated by the skin, looking in the mirror, trying to look at my pores. But I think it took me a long time to kind of come back to that. I tell patients it takes an odd person to want to look at infected things and and not be grossed out by those things. And so I think we're an odd bunch sometimes. But yeah, I feel like it excites me. It's something I could talk about all day long. And I think it's an exciting time to be in dermatology right now.
Fantastic. Hidradenitis suppurativa. Am I close? Did I say it right?
Yeah, for sure.
Close enough, right?
Close enough.
HS, and you can give us the actual pronunciation here in a sec, but HS, it's a big and it's frankly a scary diagnosis, right, for a lot of people. Can you break it down for us and explain more simply what it is and other ways it may be referred to? Because it may not be always that big name, right?
That's right. So the way I say it is hidradenitis suppurativa, and it is a condition a lot like many others where the condition ranges from very, very mild to very severe. It is characterized, like you said, by this chronic inflammation in gland-bearing skin, which tends to be skin that has hair follicles. It's oftentimes underneath the armpits, in the groin, for women, sometimes under the breast fold, anywhere where the skin has friction. So like in the groin area and even like the perianal or anal genital regions. And it can range from having just kind of this constant pimple or abscess-like structure. It can range from having one to many. It's important for patients to know this because it can often be mistaken for just a regular abscess that would just be treated with antibiotics. And if it is not addressed early, you can have significant problems down the road.
Do most patients know it as HS? Is that kind of the common way of describing this? Or are there other names?
That is a very common way because it's much easier to say for sure.
Although you and I were pretty close, I think overall,
yeah.
Right? But you're the expert, so we'll go with how you said it. How common is HS?
About 1 to 4% of the population has HS worldwide. It's a little bit more common that we think it is. Of course, we see it more often in dermatology because by the time they get to us, you know, they've been through a journey. But I'm so glad that we're talking about this because I think also a lot of providers may not be in the forefront of what they are thinking as a differential. So this is really good to just kind of bring awareness.
Who does it affect the most? Are we talking about men, women? Are there certain socioeconomic groups? What does the patient look like?
Great question. It often starts in puberty. It does affect women by 3 times more than men. And then it also affects African Americans by 2 to 3 times as well. It is definitely something that hasn't been studied as much in the underserved population. It's definitely not easy to talk about sometimes because sometimes there's a stigma with maybe not being hygienic. If you don't really know what's going on and you just have these chronic abscesses or infections, there can be an odor to it. Sometimes people are embarrassed because they are very young when it starts. And often there's a delay in diagnosis by about 7 years. So a lot of these people are either misdiagnosed or they're just too embarrassed to bring it up to their provider.
Even at the beginning of this podcast, Jennifer, I described it as boil-like lumps or bumps. We all get lumps and bumps from time to time. What's the defining characteristic then of an HS bump versus just some of the general lumps and bumps we see every day?
I would say that basically it has to be reoccurring in kind of those spots that we talked about. So in the armpits, in the groin, in between abdominal folds, in the genital anal region. And it just really needs to reoccur for approximately 6 months. So just those three things can make a diagnosis. There's not like a lab test or any test that you have to order. It's just reoccurring those general areas and 6 months.
And do we know what's causing these? Is it pure infection or what's going on? Because I think there's a lot of debate of what's the cause of HS lumps and bumps.
Yes. The short answer is we really don't know the entire reason. We know that hormones can play a role. We know that genetics can play a role. And we know that there are risk factors associated. So people that have a little bit more insulin resistance tend to have this. People that tend to be more overweight, although not everyone who has HS is overweight. It can be hereditary. There can be a family disposition as well.
Now, besides the bumps and lumps that people may feel, and you mentioned it's often in areas where there's hair growth, right? So armpits, that kind of stuff, groin. Is it just lumps and bumps? What else is going on? How else would you might characterize this?
I would say it's like inflammation around the hair follicle that ends up blocking that hair follicle. It's an autoimmune, basically, disorder where normally you'd be able to have the skin regenerate in a way where it doesn't inflame. But in these people, for whatever reason, the areas around the hair follicles, the glands, are just kind of go through this constant cycle of inflammation. The things that tend to help this are going to be areas that kind of help to decrease inflammation in those areas.
You mentioned that there can be a severity of all of this, right? Like mild, moderate, severe. When you start to progress to more of those severe cases, what's happening there? It's more than just lumps and bumps now, right?
Correct. So with the chronic lumps and bumps, basically what ends up happening is with so much inflammation, there starts to become these inflammatory secretions. So it may not be infected, but you'll get like some drainage that reoccurs. And after time, it starts to develop some tracking, some like sinus tracts and some fissuring. And when this happens over and over again, now you start to get scarring, which can be more permanent in these areas where you have the skin folds. So it can be embarrassing for people, as well as really range in the amount of pain and discomfort that they're in as well.
Since we're talking about those severe cases, and you've mentioned that you believe there's a huge inflammatory drive here, process going on. What about the biologics? That's a class of drugs, powerful anti-inflammatories. What's going on there?
I'm so glad you asked, because just in the last couple of years, we now have the first biologic that has been officially approved for HS, which is huge in the HS world. Very important to start asking questions. Do I think this is the last biologic? No, there are so many in line to compete with this. It's just very exciting to see something that is, I know, going to help a lot of patients.
I assume then, too, that the severity can often dictate then the treatment, right, of how you may approach this. And I want to get into how you're going to treat this, Jennifer. But before we do that, let's talk about prevention, because that's best medicine, right? Don't get it right at the end of the day. So is HS preventable? Are there things we can modify in our lifestyle if we have some of those risk factors that may help us reduce our risk?
That is a very good point. So definitely there is not a cure at this time. I would say the biggest things that we noticed are anything that can reduce inflammation in our body. So obesity is something that can trigger and make HS worse, just in the fact that you're in a more inflammatory state. And it's hard. It's hard to talk about it because I know like patients oftentimes have a history of having a hard time losing weight. But that is something that is and can be very well worth the dedication if it is life-changing for you. There's a lot more information that need to be studied, but in general, sugary products cause inflammation, or anything with yeast cause inflammation. So that would be number one. Number two is about 70% of patients with HS, I read recently, smoke, which is very interesting. You know, we don't know what the causation is, if the smoking is something that you do to alleviate symptoms, or if the smoking, when it kind of comes into play. However, it can be so inflammatory to your symptoms. And so if there's one thing out there to anybody listening who's like maybe just starting on their HS journey, I would say whatever you do, do not pick up smoking, because that only is going to make it worse for you.
You mentioned at the get-go with some of the risk factors, insulin resistance may play a role here. So obviously controlling sugar intake, which is important then for yeast growth, all that kind of stuff. So less sugar in your diet, more of the greens, that kind of stuff, I would assume could also be helpful.
100%, 100%.
So let's talk about mild and moderate cases of HS. What's the treatment for those?
Typically from mild to moderate, we're going to start with topical antibiotics and solutions that, even though they're over the counter, they are very, really good at reducing the bacterial load on your body. So that's going to be things like Hibiclen solution. Occasionally, some people use Betadine, and it's just reducing it so that there are less chances for infection and swelling to occur.
We said also when we were talking about potential causes of all this, right, that there may be an infectious role, but it's multifactorial probably in all this. When you are treating with antibiotics, do you find that is the bacterial infections involved maybe more of a secondary result of HS or a direct result? Where are we at in that research?
That's a good question. We really are looking at this more as an inflammatory condition and trying to prevent bacterial infection as a secondary cause.
Let's talk about those severe cases when we have the traction going on and maybe some of the scar tissue forming. What are we doing for those patients?
On top of the topical solutions, there are anti-androgenic. I know that's like a big word, but it just is basically medications to help target that extra testosterone in your body that is not helping you in any way, and to help just kind of reduce that a little bit. So there are some medications like diuretics. One is called spironolactone that sometimes can help what that testosterone does, which is normally to kind of promote acne-like structures or inflammation in your body. That is something sometimes in women we'll use oral birth control as well. And oftentimes we'll do a few medications. If their insulin is becoming more elevated, that's when we'll incorporate metformin. So a lot of things at play. There are times when the lesions are very painful and they're not infected, and that's where we can even inject a steroid solution in the swollen area, which can be really, really helpful, especially when you have patients that are pregnant and really suffering with this and they really can't be taking oral antibiotics. I failed to mention oral antibiotics as also a treatment. Sorry, that was like an important one. Again, we're not just using them as anti-infectives, but they play just a key role in inflammation in the body.
It sounds like you feel HS is, at the end of the day, as a core inflammatory process, whether that's, like you mentioned, autoimmune or some other process, that there's some chronic inflammation going on here that's building up over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a fascinating discussion on HS. When you told me how common it was, Jennifer, it kind of surprised me. I didn't realize that. So I know all of this information is going to be very, very helpful to our listeners and anybody who may think they have HS. They need to go see a specialist like you. And this is leading me into the way our environment is today with social media, TikTok, all these social channels. What do you have to say to potential patients about getting their dermatology care from those kind of sources versus professionals like you?
Yeah, I would say that it can be very overwhelming to hear different advice from different sources. I guess at the same time, I would say in researching for HS, not just for this podcast, but for other things, I am surprised at really good resources that are out there for HS, especially on YouTube, different doctors that have a lot of information on HS. I would say you still need to come see, you know, a professional. It's really important for them to find somebody that will listen to them. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're, what kind of doctor you are. You as a patient, you really need to feel comfortable talking to someone that is going to listen to you and really help you get the resources that you need. But I would come in armed with education from, you know, anything that you could get your hands on.
Fantastic information today, Jennifer. Thank you so, so much for joining me today. To find a physician, you can visit novanthealth.org. For more health and wellness information from our experts, visit healthyheadlines.org. Thanks for listening.